Welcome. This is Catherine Davis. On today's program, we're going to have a bit of a tutorial on relaxation, meditation, and how we can use simply our mind, our heart, our bodies to release stress, to move into this exciting area of self-healing and transformation. My personal experience in teaching meditation is meditation in the context of Qigong practice. And Qigong is essentially a moving meditation, but it includes sitting meditation, laying meditation, walking meditation, and exercises, movements that are similar in appearance to Tai Chi, but have more of a contextual relationship with traditional Chinese medicine. So I'm going to share with you, to start, an article that I wrote a few years back now on the importance of this gentle meditative movement for healing our bodies. How can we heal, or better yet, avoid stress injuries and chronic muscle fatigue? We can train our muscles to relax. Relaxed muscles allow for greater flexibility of the joints and reduced buildup of the fatigue and soreness that lead to weakness, injury, and pain. Many of us know that aerobic exercise reduces the level of our body stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol. Aerobics also stimulate the production of endorphins, the body's natural painkiller and mood elevators. Most often, these are the factors that help us stick to our workout regimens and daily routines. It just feels good. Exercise can be relaxing as well as health promoting. But what happens when the remedy becomes the problem? There is nothing worse than having your best laid plans derailed because of an injury or because your muscles and ligaments have been overworked and weakened. WebMD.com recommends that one of the best ways to avoid fitness injuries is to know your body. I would expand upon this by saying the key is to pay attention to the signals and signs that your body produces. Your body can warn you of potential risks and gently steer you toward exactly what it needs and when. A good approach to sustaining your exercise program is to discover your natural rhythms, to know when to push or train hard, and to know when to rest or lighten the routine. Basic self-maintenance requires that you include a warm-up, stretch, and cool-down component with each training session. However, the most holistic and effective way to protect your body and your health is to integrate a mind-body-energy approach with your regular fitness workout and wellness program. Meditation and energy circulation exercise can ease both mental and physical stress, including the physical stress which results from heavy exercise and the load of emotional stress that you bring from your life into the gym. Cardiologist Herbert Benson advises that any condition that is caused or worsened by stress can be alleviated through meditation. In fact, studies have shown that the relaxation response gained from meditation helps to lower blood pressure, improve heart rate and breathing, ease chronic pain, and boost immunity. Herbert Benson is the founder of the Mind-Body Institute at Harvard Medical School, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And some of the benefits of a regular practice of moving meditation are improved strength and better balance, reduced pain and stiffness, enhanced sleep, increased immunity, stamina, and vitality, improved cardiovascular, respiratory, circulatory, lymphatic, and digestive functions, decreased risk of falling, and reduced symptoms and improved function in people with fibromyalgia. There are specific Qigong routines for dealing with cancer, hypertension, chronic disease, and to relax the mind, muscles, tendons, joints, and inner organs. When we engage in a moving meditation, the positive effects of both exercise and meditation are further enhanced. Practices such as Tai Chi and Qigong integrate the desire to move with the need to meditate. While the practice appears to be very slow-moving, those movements work to build stamina and strength into the muscle fibers, and when integrated with a breath practice, it will relax the muscles, increase circulation of lymph for detoxification, and regulate the circulation of blood for increased oxygenation. The combined effect helps to keep the body fluid in motion and free of inflammation. It is the state of our energy body that determines the strength and health of our physical body and our capacity to have a clear mental process and stable emotional response to life. When we adopt a regular energy practice, we cultivate the skills necessary to communicate with the deeper parts of ourself and resolve potential health issues before they become a crisis. This allows us to stay healthy, mitigate stress, and implement the relaxation response that reduces the incidence of injury or disease and heals more fully those problems that continue to undermine our progress. I have one more bit of information I want to put up front, and this is about the therapeutic effects, and this is based on actual studies and abstracts. I'll start with a study called The Application of Qigong Therapy to Healthcare. A great number of clinical studies merging traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, and Western medicine have proved the complementary healing effects of Qigong in medical science. Traditional Chinese respiration exercises help to regulate our mind, body, and breathing and coordinate our internal organs, remove toxins, and enhance immunity. Domestic and foreign studies indicate that Qigong can relieve chronic pain, reduce tension, increase activities of phagocytes, and that means that it absorbs bacteria, in choanocytes, and that is the mass enclosed by a single cell wall, or more commonly known as a tumor. So it increases the activities of phagocytes that absorbs the bacteria that is trapped in the mass enclosed single cell wall. This allows it to absorb and release that from your body as opposed to having it stored up in your tissues. It improves cardiopulmonary function. It improves eyesight and influences the index of blood biochemistry. And the abstract title of what I've read to you is The Application of Qigong Therapy to Healthcare. And now a few more specific abstracts. And the first was published on August 1st of 2011. It was a human study. The abstract title is Qigong Mind-Body Therapy and Diabetes Control, a Randomized Controlled Trial. The background: previous studies have shown that Qigong, a form of mind-body movement therapy, may be beneficial for people with type 2 diabetes. However, no controlled studies have been conducted to examine the predictors and mediators of Qigong effects and indicators of diabetes control. This study examined the effects of Qigong on diabetes control and identified the predictors and mediators of these effects. The setting or participants. The study included 41 participants, 16 men, and 25 women aged 41 to 71 years with elevated blood glucose levels. The interventions. Participants were randomized to Qigong intervention or a usual medical care control group. Physical and hematologic measures were assessed at baseline and after 12 weeks. Main outcome measures. The outcomes were indicators of diabetes control, HbA1c, insulin resistance, fasting blood glucose and insulin, and 2-hour blood glucose and insulin, and potential mediators of these body weight, waist circumference, and leg strength. Data were collected in 2006 and analyzed in 2007 to 2009. The results. Linear regression analysis showed significant between-group differences in favor of the intervention group in weight and waist circumference, leg strength, insulin resistance, and fasting blood insulin at 12 weeks. Logistic regression analysis showed that the Qigong intervention was a significant predictor of reduced weight. The effect of the Qigong intervention on improved insulin resistance was mediated by reduced weight. And the conclusions, the Qigong intervention was associated with improvements in weight, waist circumference, leg strength, and insulin resistance. The mediation analysis highlight the importance of weight reduction in the control of diabetes. Again, this article was published on August 1st, 2011. It is a human study, and the title of that study was Qigong Mind-Body Therapy and Diabetes Control, a Randomized Controlled Trial. Another study I would like to highlight is this, the abstract title, A Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of the Effects of Qigong and Tai Chi for Depression Symptoms. The background. Qigong and Tai Chi are the two most popular traditional Chinese exercises known as mind-body movement therapies. Previous studies suggested that Qigong and Tai Chi may be beneficial in reducing depression symptoms. This was the first study to systematically review and compare the effects of Qigong and Tai Chi on depressive symptoms. The methods for this study. A systematic search of 6 electronic databases was undertaken through to February 2014 for randomized controlled trials, which reported depressive symptom methods. A systematic search of 6 electronic databases was undertaken through to February 2014 for randomized controlled trials, RCTs, which reported depressive symptoms measured by a depressive symptom rating scale. The standardized mean difference in depressive symptom score between Qigong and Tai Chi and a control group at the end of the follow-up was extracted as a primary outcome. The secondary outcome was that the standardized mean gain in symptom score relative to the baseline from individual arms of the RCTs for various forms of care, including Qigong, Tai Chi, usual care, other exercises, education, and miscellaneous interventions. The results. 30 studies with a total of 2,328 participants, 823 males, and 1,505 females were included. A significant effect was found for the Qigong interventions. There was no significant effect seen for Tai Chi for the primary endpoint. No mean change in symptom scores were seen for Tai Chi, usual care, other exercises, education, and the miscellaneous group in pre-post assessment in single arms. The conclusions. Qigong appears to be beneficial for reducing depressive symptom severity. This was a study, the abstract title, A Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of the Effects of Qigong and Tai Chi for for depressive symptoms. This article was published on July 31st, 2015, and it was a meta-analysis review. And the third and final piece that I'd like to include is information on Walking Qigong. Walking Qigong was founded by a Chinese woman named Gao Lin. She lived from 1906 to 1984. In 1949, she was diagnosed with uterine cancer and had surgery to remove it. In 1960, she had a recurrence and found it had metastasized to her bladder. Another operation was done to remove the cancerous portion of the bladder. Again, she had relapse and was given only 6 months to live. Not willing to give up her fight, she recalled the Qigong her grandfather had taught her as a child. She researched and practiced, but did not feel much results. She did more research of the ancient writings and then developed her own practice schedule. 2 hours every day, and in 6 months, her cancer had subsided. From her experience, she believed that this Qigong could help others to have more success in their fight. Qigong therapy. She combined both movement and meditative quiet Qigong. By 1977, she had achieved tremendous results. By using this simple method of walking, moving, and breathing, her students' lives were being enhanced, and many experienced recovery from their illness, and pain-free years were added to their lives. She left a marvelous legacy of hope and encouragement for all those who suffer from life-threatening illness. And you can find more about this remarkable woman at www.qigongchinesehealth.com/walking_qigong. Qigong is spelled Qigong. The bioelectromagnetic field of cancer tissues is substantially different from the normal body tissue. The biovoltage of cancer cells is much lower than that of normal body tissues. For example, with liver cancer, the biovoltage of the cancer part of the liver is negatively charged, similar to the negative pole of a battery. As the qi energy, among other things, consists of an electromagnetic field, by practicing walking Qigong, you are able to enhance your bioelectromagnetic balance. And this is Catherine Davis. I host the radio programs Heart of Mind Radio on WBAI in New York and on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. For those of you who want to find out more about what you've just listened to, you can connect with myself at the website qigongonline.net, qigongonline.net, or Catherine.1, KATHRYN.ONE. And for those of you who want to make inquiries, you can call 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. I currently have teaching sessions as well as healing sessions at Studio Maya in Brooklyn and the Open Center in Manhattan. So please connect if you have more questions. Oh, You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. In this next segment, I'm going to be playing an excerpt from a talk that I offered at the New Life Expo back in 2014. It's still very potent, and it gives a sense of the spiritual work that we are called upon to do in combination with the energy work, and all of this together represents our vibrational intelligence. All right, so I want to thank you for joining me today. Many of you know me. I'm Catherine, also known as Kathy Davis from WBAI Radio, and I've been doing a spiritual program there for probably more than I can cognitively remember, maybe 20 years, I guess, maybe 15 years, something in that neighborhood. But I've also been working on this pathway for a much, much longer time. And I would say that I think we all are living our lives in this spiritual journey. And it's just a question of coming to understand and to recognize what our life is saying to us. Our experiences, our relationships, the way our body feels, everything that occurs in our life is a language. And it's a language in which we are being spoken to from the soul, from the aspect of ourselves that sent us here. And we are in this world really as a part of an evolutionary process of our own soul, of our own higher being. And sometimes life looks really complicated, and sometimes life feels very painful. But from the perspective of our higher being, our higher soul, it's just a way of getting you, the soul, collectively into this new state of being. So I think from the perspective of our soul, our life here on this planet is an experience and is an adventure. And there's nothing to be judged, and there's nothing to be feared. And so when we are approaching our birth, before we go sort of lean into that birth process, and our soul meets the physical body that's going to be you in this embodiment, anything is okay. Any experience is okay. And one of the reasons I bring this up, it's because it's really important for all of us to begin to understand and recognize that there really are no wrongs and there really are no sins from the perspective of the soul. Because from the perspective of the soul, we are here to have the experience of a lifetime, but we're also here to collectively evolve the consciousness of humanity into a cosmic whole. And so each of us are participating with each other to create a world that is the physical embodiment of the divine world. And if you go all the way back to the times of Egypt, that's a lot of what their cosmogony is about. It's about replicating on earth the divine world. And that's why the pyramid structures are patterned after the celestial star systems. And that's why a lot of their practices are done in such a way as to teach humanity to live their lives as divine beings. And that's really what all of our history is about. It's about getting humanity to that space or that place where we can be the embodiment of our highest expression. And one of the things that we are unfortunately trained in since birth is to think that being human is somehow innately sinful and wrong, and that we are bound to judge and judge ourselves and judge each other, and we can't reach that higher level unless we follow specific behaviors. And while that may be true,
It's not about right and wrong. It's more about lifting our vibration and allowing our bodies to evolve to that space of higher consciousness or more expanded consciousness. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to talk on this particular subject is because we're living during a time when all of this prophecy is intended to happen. And we're living during a time when we have a remarkable opportunity to leave behind the worst of our society and our culture. It's a long period of transition. It might be 20, 28 years, but we're really in that time, that cosmic time, in which the earth is going to transform. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do, whether there's pollution or not pollution. The earth is changing, and humanity is changing. Our physical bodies are changing. We're changing at the DNA level. So we're just at an evolutionary process. And one of the things that I have, I would say, a great pleasure with and a great joy is that as I've been going through this process of spiritual cultivation, spiritual development, a lot of meditation, yoga, qigong, all the practices that I like to do, I witness myself move from a state of being almost in constant psychological, emotional pain. I was always in a state of suffering. I always felt that the world was, there was just so much pain in the world. I just felt very much in tune with that pain. And I felt that my life experience took me through a lot of tragedies, a lot of challenges. And I just watched, as I went through this process, how I've been able to move into another state or another stage of having a relationship with these challenges. The challenges are still there. It's just that my relationship to them has changed. And so I don't find it. I'm more in looking at it and beginning to understand life's challenges from the perspective of a soul's understanding. And so I think that's part of the challenge of what, or part of the journey of what we're doing. And so if we think of ourselves as being vibrational beings, and that's what I'm actually saying, that we're really vibrational beings. We are movement, sound, we're light, and it's only by the perception that we look like solid human beings. We're actually very radiant vibrational beings. We have tones that are running through our body, and we are relating to each other on so many different levels that language is just the most minute part of how we understand and relate to each other. And so it's really useful to be able to understand when we're in this exchange back and forth that there is just so much more going on within our lives, within our relationships, and that's being played out. And I don't want to make it seem that we're like toy soldiers or robots in the sense that we're just responding to this, the soul that is sort of behind the scenes. But it's in a way we are responding to that consciousness that's far beyond our own local perspective. What has been occurring with me is that I've been starting to have experiences of what some people might term past life experiences. And so I have had experiences that go back, it seems, hundreds of thousands of years, where I'll be going through this experience and it feels a little bit like a daydream, except that it's sort of out of the blue and it's like, where does this come from? And it becomes very experiential. And what I found out is I was having this experience and then I would, you know, I'd run into a stalemate, like this occurred, this person died, or this person had this complication. Mm-hmm. And then I would come out of it and say, wow, that didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go back into it maybe a day later, and I would sort of work the stages of the problem out a little bit further. And then a few days, so I was going through this process where I was almost reordering a lifetime and working out the problems that lifetime had, which the way the vibrational information comes forward, it's those issues are coming through your current life to be resolved. And so a lot of the complications that we have, we didn't generate in this lifetime. It's something that came through us so that we would have the opportunity to resolve it for that prior or future experience. And so one of the things that's been happening as I've been having these experiences is that I begin to really have, I would say real conversations, real expanded conversations with those experiences, with those lives, and as well as with the parent soul, I would call it, instead of an oversoul, maybe the parent soul that generated your life. And so there's this counseling experience that usually goes on, and it happens to every one of us, but it happens in dream space, dream time. So if you're someone who doesn't really remember your dreams, or you might have some dreams that you vaguely remember at the tail end of when you're just waking up, but you don't remember most of your dreams, so that means that, generally speaking, you're in another experience. You're in another space. You're either astral traveling, which is kind of local, or you might be in connection with your parent soul and having this, being tutored on how you can approach being in the world and how you can transform and heal your body and do things to help you in the world. And so we are these beings that have these allies that are not visible to us, but that we hear through inspiration, that we hear through coincidences, and our lives are in many ways ordered by this expanded part of ourselves. And one of the things that I just feel, what I'm discovering, is that it isn't really past lives, it's not really spirit guides, it's really just facets of your own self and playing all of these roles. Because sometimes when they say that when you have a dream, that no matter what the dream says, you're really every person in your dream working something out. And so, and that's sort of a reflection of how reality really functions. And reality really functions in such a way that we are so deeply connected to the creative force. And that one of the reasons that, you know, the spiritual teachings will tell you that, well, we're all one, you know, it's hard to conceive of what that means. But it's a little bit like the Russian nested dolls. And so at the most expansive space, there is the creative force. And then it breaks down into the next level of creation. And each one level, the being that's birthed is made out of the substance of the parent. So one of the ways that we can think of ourselves as being in divine order is that the very substance of our bodies, the very substance of our consciousness, is a derivative of the first consciousness of Source. So that's why it's really important for us to begin to accept, acknowledge, and embody that truth. And that's how we begin to live our lives, manifest what we want or need to, and can heal our bodies. Because it's in recognition that you're the prime creator in an experience, in a process. So every being in creation is created out of the essence of another being. So everything is created out of the essence of another being. So we're physical beings, we're born out of our parents, right? But at the spiritual level, our soul is also born out of a parent soul. So your body is born out of your parents' body, your physical parents. Your soul is born out of your parent soul. So there's two lineages that are happening at the same time. And so your parent soul is expressing through you, okay? And so what this represents here is you're seeing this infinity, but it's really, you have to think of this as not just being two flows. So each one of these circles represents a potential life coming from this oversoul. So this oval soul could be having your life experience and many more life experiences at the same time. And so we begin to think of these experiences as our past lives. But it's all coming from the perspective of your parent soul. It's all happening at the same time. And so that's what is referred to as the illusion of time. And if you ask yourself, well, okay, what is time? Time is just basically a structure that keeps all of this from mushing together. I have a second drawing. If you look in this drawing, you'll notice that the parent soul is sort of weaving through the heart, moving the person around and trying to get them into an evolved state. And this is another stage of the same process. And what you're going to see is the parent soul and you, the child soul, being equal. And so that's where we are now. We're at the stage where we and the parent soul are unifying back into a full consciousness. And so you'll notice that there, you know, you and the parent soul are the same size and you're beginning to merge. And the significance of that is what's happening right now with what's being called ascension, or what's being called the, you know, the shift of the ages, the end of the Mayan calendars. And all of what this means is that we are being moved out of this state of separation into a state of unification. And so that is a sense of what it looks like. And so this drawing is a little bit about the life stream. Essentially, so here's a quantum embodiment. So this is, you might be starting out, and then you'll move into a state where you'll have an existence that is very short. You might have an existence where you actually have an ascended life experience. You might have an existence that was very dark, very negative, where you were a murderer or a warrior. And so you have all of these experiences, and what happens is that what we're being called to do is to collapse all this into one expression. And that's really what ascension is. That's what it's all about. It's about collapsing all of these life streams into one expression.
That recording was live at the expo, and therefore I do apologize for some of the background noise, which happens in a live event, but the presentation was clear enough for me to be able to share it with you. This was part one. Part two will also be made available on my website, heartofmindradio.com. heartofmindradio.com. I will post this show as well as the second part of this lecture. And now I wanted to share a brief sampling of what it's like to open an invitation to the quantum self requesting guidance. This is something that I embarked upon based on my intuitive sense of how to do it. It wasn't difficult. This is from a live recording from which I did receive a very healthy and helpful response. And I'm just sharing this brief opening with you. I won't be sharing the response at this time, but I wanted to give you a sense of how easy it is to open the door to guidance from the more quantum facets of your being. So take it for what it is, and perhaps use it as guidance for creating your own quantum connection to your expanded being. So here it is. This is Catherine, and I am presenting myself to my spiritual soul family for communication. So issuing an invitation that you may share my space and my facilities as a means of communicating to myself or to a wider audience in whatever way might seem desirable by my soul family. My hope is to learn more about myself and the dimensions of myself as an aspect, element of the expanded self from which I am birthed, and to understand my work and my mission, and also to understand how to live this life with more joy and success so that I may continue to thrive without the difficulties of unnecessary struggles. There may be challenges with regard to the transformation. I'd like to know about that and what it is that I'm doing and need to do. But I would also desire to be able to flow through this process without the unnecessary challenges, or so it seems from my perspective. So, I'm here.
I want you to take notice that I was very specific about whom I wanted to speak to, what the conversation would be about, and what the information was that I was hoping to receive. When communicating on a soul level, it is important to be specific to whom you are, whom you're speaking with, and what your objective is, so that you will communicate with that facet of yourself that you're seeking, and that you will have the outcome that you are seeking, and that you will be safe and protected by your extended soul family. Throughout this whole exploration for myself, I have been very, very careful to speak to that part of my being that I don't have access to on an everyday basis. That part of my being that is the holder of my intuition and greater wisdom, and has a perspective or vantage point that can not only see into the vast experience of my soul over the time-space continuum, but also has a greater perspective on the world in which I live, and has the ability to communicate with or discern what's going on in the world, in the people I encounter on their soul level. And I have found that this quality has helped me in so many ways with regard to expressing and communicating, and it has helped me a lot in the healing process where I communicate with my parent soul or higher soul self, who can communicate to the person I'm working with on a soul level. And through that line of communication, I can receive insight on how to best help that person. I've also been very careful not to communicate with so-called angelic beings and spirit guides, except through my own parent soul, higher soul self, whom has a much better capacity to discern if these entities that might engage or want to engage are something that I should be dealing with, and I can rely upon my higher self to advise me with wisdom and to protect me if needed. So I encourage you to experiment with communicating with your higher self and learning to hear the wisdom and the guidance that is being whispered in your ear. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience, and it most definitely can enhance our lives. So if you've got the courage to try it, I have found it highly, highly beneficial to my development and growth as a spiritual being. Thank you for joining me today, and stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. On today's program, the music was Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark, Marta's Song by Deep Forest, and coming up, Freedom Dance by Diane Reeves. Yeah.
come the breath of your creation, comes a joy that sets my spirit free. In the raptures of surrendering, I'm one with all that. Stand upon the rock of faith.